You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident fanalist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_dada. So we're going to continue on now with part two. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look at the last episode. That was part one. Listen to that one first. But what we're going to be doing is looking at weeks 10 through 17 and asking two questions. Number one, what is the biggest obstacle in beating that team? Number two, what is the biggest fear? And the difference between the two is that the biggest obstacle is sort of a known, and the biggest fear is an unknown. For example, biggest obstacle against the Bears is the defense. Biggest fear is Mitch Trubisky. Not actual fear, but biggest fear is that Mitch Trubisky is going to figure it out and become pretty awesome. Potential fear. Whatever words you prefer, you go right ahead and use those. But since you don't know my truth, maybe just leave me alone. But before we take our break, just please remember, if you have any questions for the show, text or call 608-501-0718. Otherwise, just leave a question in the Facebook group. If you don't know how to get there, once again, check the description. There's a link there that takes you to a bunch of links. They're all labeled. I'm sure you can figure it out. But let's go ahead and take that break, and then we'll jump back in, starting with, let's see, week 10, Carolina Panthers at home. Catch you on the flippity flip.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So if you want to follow along, I would strongly encourage you to check out the Packernet schedule, because as I have said, it is the best Green Bay Packers schedule you're going to find anywhere online, and I challenge you to doubt me. And although it seems like a weird thing to brag about, or a weird flex, as the kids say these days, but I won't be saying that. The only reason I keep bringing it up is because every time I try to Google it, every schedule I can find is garbage. If you just look at Google, which is the master of the universe, and I love Google, I got a Google Pixel phone. It's pretty awesome. And it's talking to me.
Understand.
See? Your mom understands. Burn. But go look at Google's schedule for the Packers. What week is this? I don't know. I got to count it out. 1, 2, 3. And that's assuming it's, you know, left to right, top to bottom, which it is. But then what's home and away? Well, top is home and bottom is away, which you have to try to remember, but I'm never quite 100% sure. And the only reason I know that is to have to find out, let's see, week one against the Bears, that's in Soldier Field. So if it's on top, what channel is it on? Oh, I don't know. It's not going to tell me. Packernet schedule, man. Week 10, Sunday, November 10th, at home against the Carolina Packers, part of the Green Package, at noon on Fox. Chicago will not be televising that. Why? Because Chicago is also playing at home on noon. I know all that information from the schedule. See, when I'm excited and angry at the exact same time, I get super ranty. That was a football schedule rant. It'd be like coming home and my wife telling me I'm having one taco for dinner. Like, I am so angrily excited right now. But anyways. So, right out of the gate, and I don't know how much I've kind of really talked about this. I'm sure I've mentioned it at some point. I'm not the biggest Cam Newton fan. Maybe it's a little bit because of the whole pouting fits that he does, but I really think it's just the classic formula. I don't really care for Cam Newton because people grade him way up here, and you can't see me, but my hand is like really high right now. It's crazy high. But he's kind of just like, you know, I don't know if I want to say Kirk Cousins, because people are really going to get mad if I say that, but middle tier, right? He's not bad. He's not top 10. So, I mean, I don't know where to put him. You know, Kirk Cousins is like the 15th, 16th best, somewhere in the middle. Well, if Cam Newton's not top 10, I don't know what I'm supposed to say to make him be far away from Kirk Cousins. The one thing that makes me nervous about him is his legs. When that guy takes off running, it's just scary. But as a quarterback, yeah. As far as what I am scared of, I guess you could just say it's the box. Right smack dab in the middle of this defense, not only do they have Kawan Short, but they got Gerald McCoy now in Carolina. I know he's not maybe what he was, but he's still Gerald McCoy, man. Beyond that, they went out and drafted Brian Burns, who obviously a lot of Packer fans liked him. I don't know exactly how good he's going to be as far as stopping the run type stuff. But in terms of being a good pass rusher, it's a little bit scary. And then, of course, behind them all, we've got Luke Kuechly, arguably the best linebacker in all of football right now. Depending on what you think of Dontari Poe, you could also throw him in at nose tackle, but I'm not, you know, I don't know. He's okay. Now, the good thing about this, and to be honest, there's a lot of people, and I kind of get it, because there's good pieces kind of everywhere. I'm not super scared of Carolina. I don't mean that I'm not scared in the sense that, like, oh, we're definitely not going to lose this game. I'm just, I don't really see an easy path to beating a lot of teams. For example, Kawan Short, Gerald McCoy are solid. Outside of that, meh. And especially when you consider the fact that pretty much everybody, depending on how Brian Burns does, they're not pass rushers, man. They lost all their pass rushers. They're gone. Julius Peppers, et cetera, they're gone. And the identity of this team for a very long time has been that front. Beyond that, your secondary. I'm not scared of really anybody in the secondary. If the Packers can't throw against, you know, I don't know, maybe Dante Jackson takes a step, but James Bradbury, I don't even know who that is, man. Eric Reed, he's not good. Rashawn Golden was a rookie, didn't do anything. This is a beatable defense. Not easily, right? Because they've got some talent up front, and Luke Kuechly's a scary guy. But even compared to, like, Dallas, I'm just, no, man. And I know Carolina, and maybe I'm just missing it, but Carolina, you just think of things in the past, like, oh, Carolina's got a good defense, and, you know, Cam Newton, and, you know, whatever. I just don't know that it's really that team, man. I don't know that this is the defense that we have been scared of for several years. And again, if this is a defense we can't overcome, we're already done by the time we see Carolina. Because we didn't beat the Bears, we didn't beat the Vikings, we didn't beat the Eagles, we didn't beat the Cowboys, we probably didn't beat the Broncos. All these defenses scare me a lot more than Carolina. Again, name them. Forget Luke Kuechly. Okay, they got one linebacker. Cool. Who else? And you know, I know this isn't supposed to be me trashing the team, but I'm just, that's kind of the point, right? Carolina's supposed to be super scary, and I just picked like the one thing that kind of makes me nervous, and it doesn't even make me that nervous. Now, on the flip side of the ball, if we move on to, you know, biggest fear or potential fear, it's more on the offensive side of the ball. I could stick with, you know, guys like Dante Jackson and whatever, guys kind of figuring it out on defense, but Cam Newton is good enough to move an offense that can move. Right, there are some quarterbacks just there's nothing, right? They have to be dragged. He doesn't need to be dragged. When things are working, Cam Newton can look like a pretty solid quarterback. Right? 2015 Cam Newton was pretty fantastic. The only reason I'm super worried is because we know Christian McCaffrey's solid. Curtis Samuel, and I really don't like their wide receiver. I haven't for a long time. Whenever I do mock drafts, I'm throwing wide receivers at Carolina because I'm just tired of them not having good wide receivers. But Curtis Samuel is just coming into his third year after taking a little bit of a step in his second year. Still not great, but it's something. On the other side of the ball, DJ Moore, who was a rookie last year. As a rookie, he graded out higher than Samuel in his second year, basically an exact tie. But still, if he takes a second year leap, suddenly they've got two decent wide receivers. Christian McCaffrey, who's a phenomenal running back. Cam Newton, who's very, very, you know, adequate as a passer, but also you got to worry about him running. And then the offensive line has got, you know, they went out and got Matt Paradis, you know, one of the top centers in the league. They went out and added him. Taylor Moten on the left side is a good tackle. Not much else going on, but that to me is sort of the big question mark. What does their offense look like? Because if that offense takes a step, suddenly it's just a good offense and a good defense, and that's lethal. Right? It's hard to decide. A fully functioning offense with Cam Newton at the helm and Christian McCaffrey as your running back and capable young wide receivers with your defense in Gerald McCoy, Kaywon Short, Luke Kuechly, with these guys complementing the offense. I don't know what's scarier, that or a team like the Bears who has this elite defense but just an offense that's just not doing it. So that would be why that's my biggest potential fear coming up. After that game, week 11, the Green Bay Packers have a bye, get a little bit of a chance to rejuvenate, and it's going to be kind of a fun game. There's several games that are kind of neat for several reasons, but week 12 is a big game because it's the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco. Why is that a big game? Well, it's that whole teacher-student thing, right? I mean, it's actually really cool for both of these guys, but you know, Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator, and Matt LaFleur was like his number two quarterback coach, the guy that went around with him everywhere, learned from him. And they both went on to get head coaching jobs. And in Matt LaFleur's first year as a head coach, he gets to go toe-to-toe with the guy that taught him almost everything that he knows. I mean, you want to talk about a fun match. I don't know why I called a football game a match, but just a great contest. And, you know, maybe I'm overhyping this a little bit, but kind of a showdown of wits. You know, Matt LaFleur trying to show him up and show that he's, you know, he can kind of take him down. It's a little bit unfair because he's got Aaron Rodgers and probably a little bit more weaponry than Kyle Shanahan does. But that should be a fun one to watch. I mean, even if you're not a Packers fan or a 49ers fan, watching essentially these two similar kind of modern-day offenses kind of go head-to-head, I'm hoping it's an interesting game. Again, if things are going south, if the 49ers have another catastrophe like Garoppolo goes out again, or the Packers offense just isn't really moving, it's not really doing anything, could be somewhat problematic. With that said, this is another one that's really, really interesting to me because it's one of those areas where I feel like I'm about to learn something. Because what I see compared to what I'm hearing, vastly different. And I'm not, this is why I'll never be a big national media person, I don't have the arrogance to say, well, I see it this way, everybody else who knows a lot more stuff than I do see it a different way, so I'm going to sit here and say I'm right and everyone else is a dummy. I can't do it. But what I've heard from some people is that the 49ers are maybe one of the scariest teams in the NFL. The 49ers have a real good chance of winning their division, being a playoff team, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what in the world everybody's looking at. In my opinion, Jimmy Garoppolo has proven almost nothing. I mean, it was impressive what he did in New England when he came in for a couple games and won a couple games when everybody expected them to not win those games. But again, it's a Bill Belichick Patriots offense, and he played like two games and got hurt. Then he gets a ton of money. He goes to San Francisco, and he goes on a win streak, right? This is a team that could not win. He comes in, and they go undefeated. So essentially, he ended that season being an undefeated quarterback. He started 2018, though, just not good. And again, it was sort of similar to what I've been saying with like Aaron Jones after his first season. It's like, you know, it was awesome, but we haven't really seen very much. And even after the second year, we pretty much know what he is, but he's kind of had like all combined like one season, kind of similar to Kevin King, actually. So it's still a little bit of a wait and see, but I'm not sold on Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know that they have really any good wide receivers. Marquise Goodwin is a very big name. I don't know that he's ever really been considered a top-tier wide receiver. They drafted Deebo Samuel. Maybe that becomes something. I don't know. Obviously, George Kittle is all the rage. PFF graded him as the number one tight end in the league. You know, the scheme and all that stuff paired with his athletic ability, he's going to be a nightmare. Okay, cool. So that'll be tough. They got Jerick McKinnon, who I've said consistently I think is an underrated running back. I think he's, you know, always been kind of stuck behind a number one, but is worthy of a number one role. He just hasn't gotten it. But that's not because he's an elite running back. I just think he's good enough to be in that category of a every down running back. I like their tackles, Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey. The interior is kind of a mess, though. So overall, the offense is just, I don't know. I'm completely diverting from what I'm supposed to be doing, but it is what it is. The point is, I don't see it. I don't like their linebackers. I don't like their safeties. I don't even like their corners. And I know they got Richard Sherman, but Richard Sherman hasn't even been Richard Sherman since like 2014. I mean, Richard Sherman, as like the reason everybody knows him and still reveres him, is for the 3 years between 2012 and 2014. He was still good from 2015 to 2017. Good. But, you know, nothing super special. This past year, he didn't even grade out as good. He was graded as the 50th best corner. So at this point, in my opinion, he's just a name. Now, what am I scared of? How about Nick Bosa? D Ford, I don't know. But overall, Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas, who hasn't really been able to produce, and then D Ford, it's a scary front, man. And there's a lot of question marks because Thomas hasn't been able to do much. Bosa hasn't done anything in the NFL yet for obvious reasons. Ford has been trash up until last year when Mike Smith coached him up and taught him a few things, and for whatever reason, he blew up. Can he sustain that? I don't know. Also, he went from an outside linebacker to a hand-in-the-dirt defensive end, which I, for the life of me, don't understand. But this can and probably will be a little problematic. Biggest potential fear is probably going to be just Garoppolo. If Garoppolo can show to be the same guy he was when he came in that first year and took over for San Francisco, we could be in trouble. Because the fact of the matter is, as bad as Trent Taylor has been over the last 2 years, and as bad as Marquise Goodwin has been, some of that probably has a little bit to do with the fact that they're not in a... They haven't been... Well, some of these guys are... Taylor's probably only played for a good system. Goodwin's been around for a while, but, you know, you don't have a good quarterback, you don't have a good system. Eh. But if you look at, for example, the offensive line is good enough. If Garoppolo is playing out of his mind, McKinnon is going to be good enough. Kittle is playing out of his mind. Debo Samuel, Marquise Goodwin, Trent Taylor. I think as it stands, just looking at 2018, it's not a good offense. But I think there's a lot of potential, especially with Kyle Shanahan, for this to be a really, really scary offense. Then you factor in one of the scarier defensive fronts, depending on how that pans out with Bosa and Ford and Solomon Thomas, etc. And Eric Armstead, I forgot about him. Suddenly it becomes a very scary team. With that said, though, again, I look forward to watching this team and seeing what happens because, again, what I'm hearing, going to be a very, very, very scary team. What I'm seeing, not a great team. Even if you compare it to the Packers, because there's a lot of similarities between the Packers with the amount of question marks, right? Bosa, Ford, Alexander, the Quan Alexander, who they got at linebacker, who I've said is complete garbage that they paid like $17 million to or something ridiculous. Jimmy Garoppolo, Jerick McKinnon, Debo Samuel, right? Tons of question marks. Mike McGlinchey, is he going to take a second-year leap? Even so, even if, you know, we can put a question mark on Sherman. Is he going to bounce back? He had a bit of a down year. Can he bounce back? They still have a ton of holes. Their offensive line, best case scenario, is not going to be what the Packers' offensive line is probably going to be. Their wide receiver situation is not going to get better. It's bad with the possibility that Debo is a pretty good wide receiver. They don't have guys like EQ and MVS and Geronimo that can come in and fill in and at least be at a baseline decent, but with a lot of upside. There's no upside in Marquise Goodwin. The corners, you know, with the exception of Jason Verrett, who, you know, I don't know what his deal's been. Injuries, I guess. Maybe he could bounce back. Sherman, maybe he could bounce back a little bit. They don't have Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson. And again, it's not a different, it's not the same kind of question marks. I hope they don't keep getting worse is a different question to, man, Jair was good. I wonder how much better he's going to get. Adrian Colbert and Jaquiski Tartt. No, man. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, we got questions with Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos, but it's a question of are they going to underperform or are they going to be a lethal safety duo? There's no lethality here. There's no potential upside, and that's what I don't understand about the 49. There's some potential. Garoppolo, McKinnon, Samuel, a little bit. But there's still holes that are going to be holes, guaranteed, because these are just not good football players in certain areas. So, anyways, we'll see what happens. After that is the New York Giants, which is, I'm assuming a lot of people are going to say it's just a guarantee. I just, in my opinion, the Giants are a team that is way better than they're performing. And maybe a lot of it is just Eli Manning is just an absolute anchor, just refusing to let this boat move. But there's talent here, man. I would say, obviously, again, not as much upside at quarterback, but they did draft one. We'll see what happens there. You never know. I would venture to say there's more talent here, not coaching-wise, just players. If I had to choose a roster, the Giants or the 49ers, I might choose the Giants. They've got a much better offensive line. They've got better wide receivers. They have a very talented tight end who's not Kittle, but he's very talented. They've got maybe the best running back in the NFL. He was graded out by PFF as the third best running back in his rookie year, running behind a pretty awful offensive line that has gotten upgraded massively. They've got Jabril Peppers, who they traded for, who actually did take a really big step in his second year, now playing safety. They also traded for Zeitler, who's fantastic. They got Will Hernandez going into his second year. They traded for Nate Solder on the left side. They drafted DeAndre Baker to play corner, opposite Janoris Jenkins, who's a decent enough corner. Dalvin Tomlinson is a very, very good defensive lineman. They drafted Dexter Lawrence, who's an absolute freak athlete, so the defensive front isn't terrible. The linebackers aren't good, but whatever. I mean, the biggest problem they have is they don't have pass rushers. Dexter Lawrence, hopefully, for their sake, will be able to provide pass rush interiorly. But the bottom line is, in my opinion, I don't think this is a guaranteed slam dunk. I mean, Eli Manning isn't bouncing back. And that alone might be our salvation, because Eli Manning isn't going to be able to keep pace with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think we're going to lose this game. I'm just concerned that if they can find a quarterback, which they did draft one, that can come in and play and be kind of good at stuff, there's something here, man. I mean, if you've got a capable enough quarterback and you're struggling to get pressure because they've got a good offensive line and they have as their weapons Saquon Barkley, Golden Tate, and Evan Ingram, I don't know, with Sterling Shepard also on the outside, you know, not super elite people outside of Saquon Barkley, but more than enough talent to make stuff work. This team could put up points on the Packers. And the problem is, as much as they might not be able to generate pressure, if Janoris Jenkins and DeAndre Baker can do a decent enough job, and obviously, you know, Devontae Adams is going to dominate whoever, but they're just going to double him up. So you got Janoris Jenkins maybe on, depending on how good DeAndre Baker is. But let's say Baker's a stud. Then you put Janoris Jenkins and Jabril Peppers on Devontae Adams. You got DeAndre Baker holding down MVS. Their offense is scoring points. Our offense is struggling. Even though they're not able to get pressure, we can't get people open. I'm stretching what seems possible here because, you know, MVS is still going to get his spots, and we got tight ends that are going to manipulate the living daylights out of their garbage linebackers. But I'm just doing the opposite thing. I'm doing the thing that I always do, right? If you ask people about the 49ers, that's a fantastic team. I'm not buying it. You talk about the Giants are the biggest joke. And listen, I think they're being run just horribly. I don't understand what they're doing. I don't really necessarily respect the coaching that they've got going on. The GM is just, I don't know what in the world he's doing. But the straightforward, biggest fear I have, the biggest problem we're going to have is Saquon Barkley. The biggest fear that I have is not going to be Eli Manning. It's going to be that Daniel Jones comes in and is a talented quarterback. Because again, Daniel Jones comes in and he starts distributing to Barkley, Tate, Ingram, and Shepard. Suddenly there's some concern there. If they don't have a quarterback, they don't have any wins. They're not going to beat the Green Bay Packers if they don't have a quarterback or if it's Eli Manning. All due respect to Eli, who had a really good run. There was a time when he was not the worst quarterback, but that man has not been able to produce as a quarterback since probably PFF says about 2012, yeah. So right in that era when they won the Super Bowl. And in 2011 was his best year. He played fairly well that year. 2012, he was still decent. 2013, he dropped and never looked back. So that game is going to be on the road. It's going to be in New York. December 1st, going to be cold and snowy and everything else. And so it's not a game you want to sleep on. This is a classic trap game where the Packers are doing real well. They've already racked up 9 wins. This is supposed to be one that's just a piece of cake. And Daniel Jones comes in, starts ripping off a bunch of big gainers in front of his home team crowd, and our offense can't seem to get going. It's just in a bit of a funk, and they get some goofy little pick six, and suddenly, you know what I mean? This is just one where if I'm coaching this team, I'm saying, you know, do not fall asleep on this team. After the Giants, we stay in the division, but we go home, and we're going to face up against the Washington Redskins. It's our final NFC East matchup. Biggest fear, you know, as has been a theme throughout the season, the biggest struggle, got to keep my terms right here, is probably going to be the defensive front. They have been, this is the pro version of Alabama, right? Their GM loves to just go out and get Alabama guys. It's another guy who I think, I don't understand how this organization, I mean, this is like the Packers if the Packers never had success, right? It's the same guys every year, and they just don't ever change, and they don't do anything. You got a GM who just doesn't know how to draft, And you got a coach that is one of the losingest coaches in currently in the NFL. I mean, if you take out guys that have been in the league for more than like 2 years, I think no coach has lost more than Jay Gruden. It's just an absolute nightmare. I don't understand it. But anyways, some pretty scary guys up front. Ryan Kerrigan, he's still going strong. He's a real scary guy off the edge. You got Daron Payne, who's going into his second year. Jonathan Allen going into his third year. Those big Alabama boys up the middle, kind of similar to what Detroit has, just they're not as talented. And then they went out and got Montez Sweat. I was not the biggest Montez Sweat fan in the world, but we got to see what he can do. I mean, he kind of fits this mold, right? Big, strong, physical. We know he's fast and everything else. I don't know if he's going to be any good, but if he is, it's going to be a little bit scary. Biggest concern, similar to the Giants, is Dwayne Haskins. I don't know if Dwayne Haskins is going to be able to do anything. And overall, which I will talk about in a second, I'm just not really scared of this team. But again, you get a quality quarterback, and pretty much it's similar to what people say about the Packers, right? The Packers roster is pretty garbage, but as long as you got Rodgers, anything's possible. If Haskins can come in and be a capable quarterback and do enough to score points, that's all you really need. The problem with all of this for the Redskins is the fact that despite having a decent enough offensive line, this is another team similar to the Carolina Panthers where I am just... putting myself in Redskins fans' shoes, I am fed up with the lack of ability to find wide receivers. Paul Richardson, Josh Doctson, Trey Quinn. I mean, what are you doing? I feel bad for any rookie quarterback who has to come in with just nothing to work with. Now, fortunately, if they're smart anyways, this is going to be a team that runs the ball a lot. And they do still have Jordan Reed, but that guy has had about as many injuries as anybody I can think of. That Cincinnati tight end is probably the only one I can think of has had more injuries. What is it with tight ends, man? These guys just take a beating. And I've said in the past, Jordan Reed is one of the scariest tight ends I've ever seen. He just can't play a full season. He almost did last year, and he wasn't that great, probably because he's had 75,000 surgeries and he's getting to be old. But there just is not that much to work with. I mean, you know, Adrian Peterson's still on the team. I think he's somewhat underrated. Darius Geis is probably going to be stealing most of the snaps if he's healthy. I think that could be pretty scary. But I just don't think a ground-and-pound team that's going to try to, you know, beat you on the ground, wear you down, score, you know, 17 points and hope our defense can hold you off, that's not going to work. Not in Lambeau, not against Aaron Rodgers, that's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to throw the ball consistently enough to be able to get down the field and score enough points with these wide receivers. And Mike Pettine working his magic, being a, you know, master of disguise up against a rookie quarterback is a recipe for disaster. And if you're just going to run the ball, we're going to key in on it and we're going to stop it. And to say that Montez Sweat and Ryan Kerrigan and Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen, that's going to be enough despite the fact that you guys don't have linebackers. You know, you went out and got Landon Collins, and that's cool. He's wildly overrated, but cool. You got a strong safety. You don't have a free safety. You don't have any good corners. You got big names like Josh Norman and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, guys who are big names. You know, Josh Norman has been living off of one good year his entire career. He's been in the league since 2012. He's had one good year. One. He is, I don't want to say Nick Perry because he fell way off, but he's a classic case of a guy that was bad. And then he had a great year, cashed in, and now he's just mediocre. 1 year the guy had. The defense isn't good enough. The offense isn't good enough. But whatever. Defensive front, that could be a problem. Biggest fear is Dwayne Haskins. After that, we've got a final little run, and it's going to end similar to how it began. We're going to end the season in the division. Week 15 against the Bears, week 16 against Minnesota, and week 17 against Detroit. I already talked about those teams, so I'm not going to do it again. But let me put it this way. I see almost no scenario where we don't have to dominate our division to get into the playoffs, where these aren't unbelievably significant games. With the exception of being undefeated up until week 15, I don't see a scenario where this doesn't matter very, very seriously. And it's nice that the first game is Chicago at home. I think that, you know... Again, it's going to depend on Trubisky, but that's going to be somewhat to our benefit. We're going to be a little bit more comfortable in the system. Defense, likewise, is going to be a little bit more into a rhythm. It's going to be in Lambeau Field, which is going to be a pretty big benefit. I think there's a really good chance of being able to take down the favorite in the division. After that, though, Minnesota on the road, Detroit on the road. I you know, I have no way of knowing what the situation is going to be coming into week 15, but I feel like if we can win 2 out of 3, we probably are in a pretty good spot. I really hope we're not in that same situation where it's, you know, you got to win or you're out. Win just to have a chance to get in. But at the same time, even a good football team, it's hard to not be in that situation. Again, we got to face the Bears, the Vikings, the Broncos, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Panthers, and then the Bears and the Vikings again. Those are all teams that I could see a loss happening because of the amount of talent that they have. To say that we're going to come through that gauntlet, which, by the way, assumes we're going to beat all these other teams that I say aren't super great, but we get through that gauntlet with, what, 4 or 5 losses? That's pretty solid. I mean, if we can get through the first 10 games with 4 losses, I'll be probably pretty excited. I wouldn't be excited about 6-4. That's a lie. But, again, who knows who's going to be a good team, who's going to be a bad team. You never know. But just looking at it, there's some really, really tough games here. And there's going to be some big challenges, aside from just being tough games. Again, you know, look at the amount of elite pass rushers we're going to have to go up against just in the beginning of the schedule. It's absolutely out of control. Every single team up until week 7 against the Oakland Raiders, there is a, you know, potentially elite. I don't know what Trey Flowers is going to be, but weeks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, just dominant pass rushers. Then you skip week 7. Then you got Kansas City. Very good pass rushers on that team. There's 2 of them that are really scary. The Chargers, Bosa, Ingram, scary, right? If there's ever a year where we needed some really good tackles, this is it, man. Offensive line play in general needs to be on point. Last year, I'm trying to remember what, I think last year, or maybe it was the year before, last year, though, it was wide receivers. That was the big thing. Like, we are going up against the best wide receivers in the game, right? You know, Julio, AJ, maybe it was 2 years ago, I don't know. But it was all the top ones, so it was like good corner play is what we needed. This year, good tackle play is what we need. But anyways, we're almost there, man. It's almost time. A few more weeks and we're going to be seeing and hearing about the Green Bay Packers with the, at least the shorts on, playing a little bit of football. But anyways, you folks enjoy what's left of your Sunday. I will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.